Devon rode back, asking for instructions as to where to place his brigade. He had a cheery, boyish face, curly yellow hair. He had much more courage than wisdom. Buford said abruptly, accusing, "You know what's going to happen in the morning." "Sir?" "The whole damn Reb army is going to be here in the morning. They'll move right through town and occupy those damned hills," Buford pointed angrily, "because one thing Lee ain't is a fool. And when our people get here, Lee will have the high ground and there'll be the devil to pay." Devon's eyes were wide. Buford turned. The moods were getting out of hand. He was no man for war councils or teaching either, and no sense in brooding to junior officers, but he saw it all with such metal brilliance. Meade will come in slowly, cautiously, new to command, wary of reputation. But they'll be on his back from Washington, wires hot with messages, attack, attack. So he will set up a ring around the hills, and when Lee's all nicely dug in behind fat rocks, Meade will finally attack if he can coordinate the army straight up the hillside, out in the open in that gorgeous field of fire, and we will attack valiantly and be butchered valiantly, and afterward men will thump their chests and say what a brave charge it was. The vision was brutally clear. He had to wonder at the clarity of it. Few things in a soldier's life were so clear as this, so black line etched that he could actually see the blue troops for one long bloody moment going up the long slope to the stony top as if it were already done in a memory already, an odd set stony quality to it, as if tomorrow had occurred and there was nothing you could do about it, the way you sometimes feel before a foolish attack, knowing it will fail, but you cannot stop it or even run away, but must even take part and help it fail. But never this clearly. There was always some hope. Never this detail. But if we withdraw, there is no good ground south of here. This is the place to fight. Devon was watching him warily. Buford was an odd man. When he rode off there by himself, he liked to talk to himself, and he could see his lips moving. He had been too long out in the plains. He looked at Devon, finally saw him. He said abruptly, "No orders yet. Tell your men to dismount and eat. Rest. Get some rest." He rode slowly away to inspect the ground in front of him, between him and the rebels. "If we made a stand here, how long do you think we could hold? Long enough for John Reynolds to get here with the infantry? How long would that take? Will Reynolds hurry? Reynolds is a good man, but he might not understand the situation. How do you make him understand? At this distance. But if you hold, you at least give him time to see the ground. But how long can you hold against Lee's whole army? If it is the whole army. These are two very good brigades. You built them yourself. Suppose you sacrifice them and Reynolds is late. For Reynolds will be late. They're always late. Think on it, John. There's time. There's time." The land was long ridges with streams down in the dark hollows. Dismounted, along a ridge, with all night to dig in, the boys could hold for a while. Good boys. Buford had taught them to fight dismounted, the way they did out west, and the hell with this Stuart business, this glorious Murat charge. Try that against an Indian, that glorious charge, sabers a-shining, and he'd drop behind a rock or a stump and shoot your glorious head off as you went by. No. Buford had reformed his boys. He had thrown away the silly sabers and the damned dragoon pistols and given them the new repeating carbines, and though there were only 2,500 of them, they could dig in behind a fence and hold anybody for a while. But could they hold long enough? Wherever he rode, he could look back at the hills, dominant as castles. He was becoming steadily more nervous. Easy enough to pull out, the job is done. But he was a professional. Damned few of them in this army. and he would not live forever. Rain clouds blotted the western sun. The Blue Mountains were gone. Gamble's first scouts rode back to report that the Rebs had gone into camp just down the road, about 3 miles out of Gettysburg. Buford rode out far enough to see the pickets for himself. Then he rode back toward the Green Hills. He stopped by the seminary and had a cup of coffee. The staff left him alone. After that, he deployed the brigade.